Welcome to the second Blackboard Briefing. I'm Matt Deeprose.
And I'm Sam Cole. Coming up in this week's podcast, we'll have an interview with Rich Webber from ISS and Keith Jones from Education. We'll be catching up on the latest news for the project, and we'll be looking at the next feature in the Blackboard 7.1 release, which is internationalisation. First of all, some feedback from our first podcast. We actually had 25 listeners within the first 2 days of the podcast being online. Many of these were from within the university, including the Isle of Wight, but we also had a listener from the London School of Economics. Further afield, we had a listener in Hungary and also Australia. So Matt, what can you tell us about feedback on the first podcast?
We've received some useful feedback from listeners around the university, and I'm just going to dig out some letters from the post bag to let you know what feedback we've received and how we've taken that on. We received an email from John Copley, who's in the School of Ocean and Earth Science at the NOC, and he said that he had been involved in doing a bit of podcasting earlier in the year, and he felt that it might be useful to set up a forum or interest group so that other people who have already had a go at podcasting and using this kind of format can share experiences and best practices. And we think that's a very good idea. So if you, our listeners, have had a go at podcasting yourselves and you've got some tips and experiences to share, then let us know so we can keep like a record of who's been involved with podcasting. And hopefully over the autumn, as we begin to write up our documentation, we can hold a couple of sessions for people to share experiences and we can get all of it written down. We also had a letter from Tim O'Riordan, one of our colleagues in EE Media, who pointed out, as well as a number of other listeners, that we hadn't quite included the cast part of a podcast. The podcasts are designed not only so that you can listen to material on an MP3 player or through your computer, but also so that you can subscribe to a broadcast, as it were, to a podcast, and receive new podcasts as they're released. So we've added some code to our podcast website so that you can point a program such as iTunes or one of the freely available podcast aggregators that are available online, point that at our webpage, and it will download the latest Blackboard Briefing as it is released. So we've added that there now. So thanks for the feedback, and we're going to try to take on as much feedback and any criticisms you may have.
We'd obviously also be interested in any more feedback that you've got, either on the first podcast or on this podcast, and we'd encourage you to get in touch with us at weblearn@sotton.ac.uk. Right, so on to our first interview for this week's podcast, which is with Rich Webber of ISS. Rich is actually the project manager for the Blackboard upgrade.
Today we're with Richard Webber from ISS.
Hello.
Hi, Richard. Could you start, Rich, by introducing yourself and telling us a bit about how long you've been at the university and what you do in ISS?
Sure. Well, as you just said, I'm Richard Webber. I work in ISS as part of the EST team, which is Enterprise Servers team. And I've got a background in the University of working in Unix and Windows systems. More recently, I've been more involved with project management, and having been at the university for 9 years, I've now got a lot of experience in what we do and the different systems and services that we provide to the university. So I'm in a good position to have an overall feel for how the services are provided and to manage projects effectively.
Okay, and what's your involvement with the upgrade to Blackboard 7.1?
I was asked to manage the Blackboard project this year. It is quite a large project in terms of the scale of projects that we've undertaken in the past. And traditionally, we have normally asked the technical staff to manage the project as well as perform the implementation. And it was felt for Blackboard that because of the whole scope of the project, that it would be beneficial to have somebody separated away from the technology to concentrate on liaising with customers and liaising with suppliers and making sure that everyone involved in the project team was getting on with the task in hand. So that's essentially what I've been doing for the last 2 months, managing Blackboard project and making sure that we can deliver on time.
Could you explain for our users what some of the benefits of the upgrade project will be?
Okay, well, in terms of Blackboard itself, I'm not very familiar with the application side of things. I've primarily come in from a background of technology, but I can certainly talk to you about the benefits in terms of availability to users, which is what we've really tried to concentrate on here. just yesterday as an example, our main Blackboard service failed at about 2:30 in the afternoon. And while we do have a disaster recovery plan to fail over the Blackboard service to another machine, that takes about 3.5 hours to execute. And it was recognised some time ago that Blackboard is a very crucial component of the services that ISS provides to the university, and a 3.5 hour downtime as a result of a system failure is no longer acceptable because it simply disrupts teaching too much. So the key aim of this project was to enhance the availability of Blackboard by implementing a clustered-based system. And what that essentially means is that we duplicate the functions of machines. So in this environment, we're establishing a 4-node cluster, and 2 of those machines will be running an Oracle database, and 2 of the machines will be running a web front-end for Blackboard. What that means essentially is that we can cope with the failure of 2 of the nodes within that cluster, and Blackboard will continue to function. So a failure of a web server would result in the load being transferred to the other web server, and similar for the Oracle system, which is called RAC, Resilient Application Cluster. A failure of one of those nodes will result in Oracle taking over the functions on the other machine. So what that means in terms of users, they should no longer see long periods of downtime when individual machines within the cluster fail. Of course, doesn't mean to say we're totally resilient. If a power failure was to occur in our machine room and we lose all 4 nodes, then there really isn't a lot we can do about that. And future projects will hopefully address that by spanning services across campus. Unfortunately, at this stage, where we don't have the infrastructure to allow us to do that, but certainly this project will definitely move us forward in terms of availability, and we plan to meet our own targets now. We have targets set, I think, of 99.9% availability within 3 months, and we need to make sure that we can architect systems to meet that guaranteed level of availability for users.
Thanks, Rich. That sounds like quite a complex project. So what have you found most challenging so far?
Certainly, this is the first project we've undertaken where we've tried to architect a solution with this level of availability and in a clustered environment. So having had to work with a whole series of new technology, both in terms of hardware and software, there has been a steep learning curve for myself and a lot of the team involved with the implementation of the project. And that, combined with such a short timescale for us to implement this, has been very, very challenging to make sure that different elements of the project happen at different times and on time so that we can move forward with everything, particularly because we needed Blackboard themselves to work with us on this project, and coordinating an external supplier to work alongside our own staff is always challenging. But we're getting there, we're on target to deliver, and I'm sure the project will be a success.
Sounds very promising, Rich, and we're very happy to be working with you and the team to bring the new Blackboard project to fruition. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, now to catch up on the latest news for the Blackboard upgrade. Matt has been continuing to work on the documentation for the project and hopes to have the documentation up in time for the upgrade in a couple of weeks. There's been further testing around the upgrades just to test that everything's going okay, and results so far have been good. There are a few issues still to resolve, but we hope to have these resolved in time for the downtime when we will be doing the upgrade. And just a reminder that the upgrade will be happening starting on 10 a.m. on Monday the 21st of August and ending in the evening of Sunday the 27th of August, so Blackboard will be down for that period. And that's the news for now. For this week's interview, Matt and I will be talking to Keith Jones from Education.
This afternoon we're with Keith Jones. Could I ask, first of all, Keith, if you could just introduce yourself, say who you are, what you do at the university, and what your areas of interest are.
I'm Keith Jones from the School of Education. I'm a lecturer in education, and my main interests are in how people, students, children learn mathematics and what the implications are for teaching. And a particular interest is in the use of computers in the teaching and learning process.
How long have you been using Blackboard, and what are you using it for?
I started using Blackboard quite some years ago, I think about 2002. And what prompted it was that one of the courses I teach with postgraduates, they're off campus quite a bit of the year, and I wanted some way of letting them access course material while they were on professional placement. And it built up from there to use it with all my master's level courses now.
How are your students finding Blackboard, Keith? Have they given you much feedback?
Always get very positive feedback. Thinking across the different courses I use it on, two of the courses are fairly standard one semester talk courses. And for there, I use Blackboard to put course information and copies of lecture notes and background material. So in terms of the wider use I make of Blackboard, that's fairly standard use. And the students find it very useful to access that course material. For two of the other courses I use it on, one that I mentioned earlier, that the students are off campus quite a bit of the year, and I make much more extensive use, including the discussion boards. And there the students find it's a very valuable resource. And another unit I use it on, again, it's taught across the year, and it's aimed at professionals who have full-time jobs. And then they can log in anytime they like and access the material there. And again, really good feedback. That's all on the positive side. I mean, there are some issues. So, for example, with the unit that the students are off campus quite a bit of the year, I've kept adding material, and students sometimes find it difficult to navigate when there's just so many things there that get sort of lost in the material. And secondly, not so much feedback from students, but more my use. There are some limitations to what you can do in terms of presenting materials in the most attractive way. So it's harder to add photographs. The HTML is fairly limited. And anyway, you have to get into the HTML if you want to do some of those sort of things. So those are some of the limitations, I guess. I mean, the link into SUST is very helpful, so that students, when they enrol, they're straight into being able to access the materials, even before they come to the course, before the course starts. We found that a really helpful feature. And as I understand, it's going to be linked in with reading lists, so it gets accesses webcam straight away. That'll be good. And I think there's new features like Wiki and things like that. So that will be looking forward to trying out some of those new features.
Through your usage of Blackboard, have you got any tips that our colleagues listening might be interested in?
I have. I mean, if you haven't used Blackboard and you're just getting started, I would certainly really encourage it. I think it's a really good facility. And you can start fairly simply by putting existing course material on there and just building it up. So it's quite easy to start, I think. Another thing to say, if you're an experienced user and you've done what I've done, which is grow things organically, then at some point you've got to start thinking, now what's the student experience of this? How do they find things? Because it's too easy just to keep adding things. It's very tempting. I'll just add that in. Mm-hmm. I'll just add that in. And sometimes, at some point, you've got to stop and think, what's a good structure for this? How do you use the menu item on the left well? And how do you use the follow-through folders well that isn't too complicated so the students get lost? Because one of the things with Blackboard is there's no easy indexing, and you can't search. So if you can't remember where it is as a student, you're a bit stuck. So that's for sort of more experienced users. And the other thing I'd say is there's always good advice on hand from the web team. So contact the web learn team and they'll help you.
Yeah, that's a good point to finish with. Well, thanks very much for your time, Keith, and thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Well, it's been a pleasure, and doing good work with Blackboard, and let's keep doing it.
Right, thanks a lot.
Okay, now, as in the first podcast, we're going to be looking at one of the new features available in Blackboard 7.1. And this week we've chosen to look at internationalisation. So, Matt, can you tell me what internationalisation is?
Well, Sam, internationalisation refers to a new part of Blackboard that you can configure yourself called language packs. Language packs are the names that Blackboard gives to some files which make Blackboard appear in a different language. A number are available, and we can install them as administrators.
So what parts of Blackboard appear in your chosen language with these language packs?
Blackboard have set up the language packs so that all of the buttons appear in a different language. All of the text that Blackboard produces itself appears in a different language. So for example, if a student's sending an email through Blackboard, the word for subject will be in the different language and message and so on. However, what this feature doesn't do is it doesn't translate all of the course materials you as an instructor have created into a different language.
Right, okay. And what languages are available?
9 languages are currently available, as well as English. And these are Arabic, German, Spanish, French, Italian, Dutch, Portuguese, Chinese, and Japanese. And we hope to have all of these on Blackboard following the upgrade for the beginning of September.
Are the language packs course-based or system-wide?
As system administrators, we can set what language the whole of Blackboard appears in by default, and of course, we've set that to appear in English. However, on a course level, a course instructor can set their course to appear in a certain language. So for example, if you're teaching a French course, you can make your Blackboard course appear in French.
Okay, so taking that example, if I'd set my Blackboard course to appear in French, could a student change that back to English?
A student could change it back into English if they wanted to through their user preferences. However, as an instructor, you can enforce a certain language appear in your course and that so that students can't change that back to English. This is set on the same page that's accessed through the control panel to set the language, and it's a simple tick box, and this can prevent a student from trying to be clever and setting the language back into English.
And what if I was a student and I decided to change my Blackboard language to, let's say, Arabic, and then I realised I can't actually read Arabic and I couldn't work out how to change it back? What would happen then?
Well, you bring up a good point there, Sam, because I'm expecting this to be quite a frequently asked question over the next semester, and that's why we're going to put the answer to this in our student FAQ. If you set a language in Blackboard and then you realise you don't know how to set it back again, simply click on the log out button and the icon remains the same, that doesn't change, it's up there in the top right. And then you'll get to the Blackboard main entry page, and along the bottom of that page you'll see a list of the languages available. Clicking on the language you want to set Blackboard back to, for example English, and then clicking on login will reset your setting for what language you would like Blackboard to be displayed in. That's how you can quickly and easily solve that problem, and of course it's easy when you know how.
Okay, thanks Matt. So that's a nice simple introduction to internationalisation, and we'll be looking at another feature next week. Thanks for listening to this week's Blackboard Briefing.
Join us again next week for more news, interviews and features. Goodbye.
Goodbye.